good to see so many here tonight, and especially from other places come our way. And I want to thank you. Now, some of you traveled a few miles. It sure means a lot to Greg here. It means a lot to me. I made the promise that I would say a little bit about the work that I do on Monday night and this Monday night. So I wanted to mention to you about the work that we do at Search. When I got there in 2009, we were on about 80 broadcast stations. God opened a bunch of doors for us. About 2010, I began to pray from my heart to ask God to open up the door for the Word to us, as Colossians 4, verses 2 and 4 describes. And I prayed that God would help me to make it clear and that I could speak boldly. God answered that prayer from about 2010 to about 2000. Then in 2012, we had grown from around 80 up to 95 stations, broadcast stations, that we were on in addition to the Inspiration Network. But in December, an opportunity came open to us and allowed us to do some things that were really magnificent and to open up a lot more doors. In December, we signed a contract with the CW Plus group. CW Plus airs in Bowling Green. And we were able to go on an additional 110 broadcast stations throughout the United States. 43 different states. God has allowed us, through the Inspiration Network, to go into all 210 television markets in America. But that's by cable and dish. But in addition to that, we are on 200 broadcast stations. Now, broadcast stations are those that have antennas that fit everybody's TV. Those are in 170 different markets, which is more than 80% by broadcast as well as by the Inspiration Network. Through our cable systems, we're going into places like Albuquerque and the 500,000 homes, in Chicago and 700,000 homes, and in Detroit in more than 500,000 homes. So there are a lot of other places that we're going. And we're going in duplicates, not only through the Inspiration Network, but also by broadcast. We are on about 50 radio stations throughout the United States in addition to that. And we also air in 45 other countries. God has really blessed us, and many of the people that we're hearing from these days are in places that are far away. Yesterday we heard about Brother Ron Hogan up in the northern part of Alaska, way up in the Arctic Circle, but we're hearing from several from Alaska, from Hawaii, from Maine. We got a call from Caribou, Maine not long ago, from North and South Dakota, Montana, Idaho, all kinds of places that are in mission fields far beyond where we think of as the Bible Belt. God continues to open doors for us. Each week we fill about 6,000 requests for information. That is, we send out a booklet, or we send a CD or a DVD, or they've asked maybe for a particular transcript, or maybe they've asked for a Bible correspondence course or some other thing, but about every week we're filling about 6,000 requests. God is continuing to open up door after door for us. When I began to pray that prayer, and the Bible actually commands us to do that, to devote ourselves to prayer, praying that God would open up the door for the Word to us, since that time, God has opened up, as to the present, 50 million doors. We're able to speak to 50 million people at a good time today that I could not speak to the last time I was here. God has been so good to us and opened those doors for us. The wonderful part about all of that is that we have been able to do it for about the same cost as we did it 3-4 years ago, because the cost of airtime has declined, has decreased, gone down. However, where our biggest draw is now, filling all of these requests that we're getting, because the cost of postage and other things are going up. So there are a lot of good things going on and a lot of challenging things going on. This month we've been having a particular program dealing with Christ's Glorious Church, and our phone has run off the hook all month long. And they just keep getting calls, and we're so grateful. God is blessing us and helping us and working with us. through us and with us. And what I request from you is your prayer. I hope you'll remember me in your prayers. I have a very heavy load on my shoulders. I feel a very keen. I need your prayers to lay the breath of the tongue. Because I know that there are a lot of people who are listening that we can bring. Are doing a lot of good work, but we need a lot of prayer. You can help us in the other way. We appreciate you. I have some transcripts and booklets in the back. If you're welcome to take them, they're free. And a newsletter, if you'd like to look on the inside of it, it shows all the places where our program is now airing. I didn't bring a lot of those, but you may want to take one of those. There's also a sign-up sheet. If you'd like to get transcripts, or if you'd like to get CDs, or if you'd like to get the newsletter, they're free. All you need to do is print your name and address and let us know. So, 3-5 minutes, that's enough. Father, we're grateful that in your love, you help us to see ourselves. Father, help us to look into that mirror of your word, to see ourselves, and help us to become the kind of people that you want us to be. To love you, to love one another, and to remain faithful, to do the right thing when it's hard. Father, we're grateful that your Son was willing to die on the cross for us. Help us be willing to sacrifice ourselves for you. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Seems like all through life we go through tests. I can remember when my first child was born back 35 years ago. And the first thing they did was take her over into the corner and they began to do this and do that. And then they had some kind of number, 1 to 10, that they assigned to her. And I didn't think it was near good enough. And as time went by, they were always weighing her and always saying, how did she grow, and testing this and testing that. And she got into school and tested again to see whether or not she was ready to go to school. Well, we have educational tests and we have health tests. And we have a test to learn how to drive so that we can get our driver's license. And all kinds of things. It's like we're always needing examples. But the most important test that matters is the test that comes from God. You know, you can fail every test in life except God's test. That's the one we need to pass. When I think about tests, I think of James' work, James chapter 1, verse 12. He said, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. That is, somebody who stays with him. He's going to endure. He's going to stay under the pressure. He perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved. That word approved is a word that comes out of this metallurgy where they would have gold and silver and put it through the fire. And they put it inside that fire and they'd make the fire so hot that it would melt the gold or the silver. And all of the dross would be burned up. And what would come out then would be the pure silver and the pure gold. And he said, once you've been approved, once you've gone through that testing, come out on the other side and God says, oh, this is good. Once you've been approved, says he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised for those who love. When you love the Lord and you do his will, yes, there'll be times you'll be tested and tried. But you know what? If you come out and you show what's really inside of you, God will bless you. God tests our hearts. The book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 3, there it says, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. He wants to see what's inside of you. What makes you tick? What you think about, what your goals and your dreams and your plans are, what you love and treasure. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 11 and verse 20, but, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tries the feelings of the heart. Feelings do matter. And when a person's feelings are what they ought to be, then a person will devote himself to the Lord. But you know what? Sometimes a person will be obedient, but he doesn't want to be. You know, like the little boy, you know, who was told to stand up and he didn't want to. And then finally he stood up and he said in his heart, well, I'm standing up on the outside, but I'm sitting down on the inside. And the Lord knows that. You can tell by looking into our hearts how we really are. Whether we care about Him, whether we treasure Him, whether we cherish our relationship. Again, Jeremiah 17, verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. And if you love God, God knows you. If you don't love God, God knows you. If you're pretending, God knows you. You might be able to fool people, but you can't fool God. God sees inside of you, and He knows what's living. When I think about various tests that the Lord gives, I think of the first question, and that is, do you know me? Sometimes I think we live in a world that doesn't know God. Doesn't know the things of God, doesn't know the ways of God, doesn't know the person or the character of God. You know, some people think about Jesus in funny, funny ways. They think, oh, Jesus would never condemn anybody. So they approve of every sin that a man can commit and say, oh, Jesus is too good ever. Jesus made it very clear that those who practice lawlessness, He said, depart from me, I never knew you. You can practice lawlessness. You can practice iniquity. That is, you set aside the law of God and do what you want to do. You know, the five foolish virgins didn't get in the marriage. When sometimes we forget that God does look at them. And when people say, oh, God will never do anything to ever affect anybody, He'll never condemn anyone, they're not reading their Bible, they're reading popular literature today. They're thinking about what people think, not what God says about Himself. In the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3 to 6, it says, and by this, here's the text, by this we know, that is, we can have confidence, we know, that we have come to know Him, that is, we've come to have a relationship with Him, a close relationship with Him. And that is if we keep His commandments. And whoever says, well, I know Him, that is, I have a relationship with God, I'm close to God, but he doesn't keep His commandments, that person is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, whoever really stays with God, and keeps His word in Him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he did. Now the way that you know you're right with God, he says, the way that you can know that you have a relationship with God is, do you keep the commandments? Do you live like He lives? Do you act like He acts? Do you talk like He talks? I've known some people that wanted everybody to know that they were Christians. But you could tell by looking at them, they really didn't live like they ought to live. How often on TV you'll have somebody that'll have terrible behavior, sleep with anybody, use all kinds of foul language, and if you look very closely, they'll have a little cross in their ear. I was watching one couple, and this lady came out and she had this big shirt, that big cross. When I found out about the way she lived, I felt really turned off because she didn't live like a Christian. You see, she had what she called her child lived with another woman. That's not Christ. She thought she knew God, but she didn't know God at all. Romans 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, and be not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Whenever we renew our minds every day, that is, when we're reading God's Word, when we're thinking about God's ideas and God's values and God's teaching every day, and we're renewing our mind and we're building ourselves up, We live a life that proves to other people what is good, what is acceptable, that is pleasing, and what is perfect. Those three things matter. And the whole world sees how we live. But if we don't transform our lives and we don't live the way the Word of God teaches, what we send is a mixed message. You know, sometimes people live in such a way that their idea of being a Christian, they talk about being a member of the church, but they don't live that way. Wayne, we taught our girls one day, dating, you know, marry a Christian, find a Christian. But we knew that just because somebody attended church, that didn't necessarily mean that they were a serious kind of Christian. Right? We wanted our girls to go out. We wanted our girls not to just marry some guy because he attended church, but somebody who took his faith serious. Somebody that helped them get to heaven. Somebody that would prove out, show out what the will of God is, that which is good. And the will of God is good. And when people do the will of God, they bless everybody around them. And not only that, it's acceptable and pleasing. When people live like God wants them to live, people want to be around those kind of people. I tell you what, whenever you're in business, you want somebody you can trust who will be honest and who will be fair and who will be kind. Not only is it good, not only is it pleasing, there just is no way of life that will match a Christian. There's none that has the joy, the peace, and the love, and the kindness, and the goodness that a Christian life has. So do you know me? Well, the second question is, will you acknowledge me? You know, there are a lot of people who are Christians, but they're Christians in Christ. John talks about the rulers of his day. John chapter 12 and verse 42, he says, "Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him, but they were not confessing him." Because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Now, our day and time, a lot of times people think that your faith is something that ought to be completely private. That you can believe what you want to believe and accept what you want to accept, but you better keep it to yourself. Don't ever tell anybody that. My word, what a terrible way. Only the devil could have thought of that. Now, here were some rulers, and they had been afraid of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were ones who began to manipulate and pull their weight and bully everybody and judged everybody. And here were people who were rulers of the synagogues and rulers of the tribes. And they believed in Jesus. Why? Because they saw his miracles and they heard his teaching and they knew that he was indeed the Son of God. But they weren't going to make it public. They were not confessing him. Because they loved people more than they loved God, and they didn't want to lose their place in the synagogue. They didn't want to lose their place in their community. They didn't want to lose the esteem that they had among people. And they knew that if they had become a disciple of Jesus, they'd lose all that. Occasionally, I hear people, whenever they want to be baptized, want a private baptism. I'm not going to understand. Now, there's a certain aspect of that that is nice. But confession is not private. Confession is by its very nature private. And when we ask people to become Christians, we also ask them to confess. To make it clear to everyone that belongs to the Lord, that they believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And one of the questions of our time is, will you acknowledge me? There was a rock star over in England just a few weeks ago that sang a lot of old semi-religious songs. And he was being interviewed by this lady in the London Times. What he told her was that he did not want to admit of being a Christian because there was too much baggage with the word Christian. And he was ashamed that name wouldn't be. need acknowledge. We acknowledge being a member of the church of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 3, Jesus the Lord said, therefore everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Confessing Jesus is not some small matter. It's a big matter. And we have to look at the test that he gives us. Are we willing to let the whole world know that we belong to him? A third test is, do you love me? Now, all of you know that Peter, that he denied the Lord three times. I do not know the man. Three times he denied the Lord. And that was, of course, a terrible thing. And you remember that Luke talks about that third time when he denied him, and it says that the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter went out and he wept with him. Jesus was right there to hear Peter. Must have been a partner. Let's go forward a few days. Jesus appears to Peter and the rest. Do you remember he sends them up to Galilee? And he goes to Galilee like they did. You remember in John chapter 21, they're out fishing. And you remember that Peter sees Jesus. He's out in the boat and he sees Jesus on shore. And he takes a boat up and he swims to shore. And there is a conversation after they finish breakfast. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I don't know what he's talking about, the fish. Maybe an answer. I'm not fishing. Do you love me more than these? Do you love the Lord more than the promises of God? And Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know I'm your friend. He said to him, feed my lambs. Take care of my little ones. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. This has always been a rather remarkable conversation to me. Jesus was there and saw how he acted when he denied him. Three times. But not once did Jesus bring that up. Instead, he asks him three times to do this. When he did, he gave him a job to do. Tend my lambs, tend my sheep, tend my sheep. When I think about the question, do you love me? Maybe we ought to take time to answer. Most of the time, people ask us, do you love the Lord? Oh, yes, I love the Lord. Can I see that in your life? Because if you really love the Lord, there's going to be a question about how you show that love. And do you show that love by the things that you do? Another question he asks is, will you believe me? Now, that's a little different than, will you believe in me? No, will you believe me? But you know, if we don't believe in him, we won't believe him. But if we do believe him, it's very clear that we believe in him. Do you believe him? Do you trust him? Do you believe what I tell you? You know, it's amazing the world in which we live wants to stand in judgment of Jesus rather than listen to Jesus and try to be judged by the things that Jesus teaches. We want to stand and judge him. And many, many times we think of Jesus, people in the world think of Jesus as just one of many good teachers, one of many good, but there's nobody ever been like Jesus. There was never anybody that had a star to mark his birth with Jesus. There was never anyone that had the angels singing from heaven to mark his birth but Jesus. There was never anyone that God said, here is one that's going to be born, and he's going to be born in Bethlehem and Ephrathah like a fire Christian. By the way, there were two Bethlehems outside. Bethlehem and Ephrathah was Bethlehem of Judea. Book of Mormon, when it says Jesus was born in the city of David, they call that Jerusalem. Not just a little bit wrong. They'll say, oh, Jerusalem is a neat place and Bethlehem was a suburb. No, it wasn't. I've been to Jerusalem and I've been to Bethlehem. And I'm here to tell you there is a big, big, big valley between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. There's nothing. Besides that, if Jesus had been born in Jerusalem and not Bethlehem and Ephrathah, Michael would have been put with false. Those priests knew where Jesus was to be born. Will you believe me? Will you believe the things that I'm saying to you, that they are true? And that you can count on them? And that God means exactly what he says. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. King James uses the word study. Other versions say, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately or rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you handle rightly the word of truth? Do you really believe it? Are you the kind of person that you're diligent when you read your Bible to say, I want to know what it says. I want to treat it correctly. I want to make sure that I understand exactly what God is saying in this passage because I take God seriously. That's what he means really when he says, do you believe me? Some people are unapproved before God, not because they are immoral people or idolaters, but because they don't listen to what God says. They want to say what they think and what they feel and what they believe rather than listening to God. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and his trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by its stream. And he will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green. And it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Then he says, I, the Lord. He says, I examine, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. God knows what kind of people we are. And God says, you know, you take the fellow that really listens to me, that really hears the words that I've spoken, whose heart loves me and wants to do what is right, that guy is going to be like a tree planted by the streams of water. And when everything else is drying up, its leaves will still be green and will still produce its fruit. Why? Because it listened to God. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, Paul brags on the church at Thessalonica. He says, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. And he tells them in verses 13 and 14, he brags on them because they accepted that word as the word of God and not the word of man. I think about this passage. And I think about how God examines our hearts and being approved by God and being entrusted with the gospel. Now, every one of you have been entrusted with the gospel. God said, okay, I'm going to put my word and I'm going to put it into your hands. This is a precious treasure. It's the thing that gets people to heaven. It's the words that lead to eternal life. I've given it to you. Don't miss it. not this time. God's not going to examine your heart. 1 John 4, verse 1, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Today, when people claim to be inspired by the Spirit, there were false prophets, and they said, Oh, that I have the Spirit just like others do. But the Spirit they had was not the Holy Spirit, and what they spoke was not God's Word. It was something else. And so he said, You test the spirits. You make sure that what they're saying is true and is right. Jesus is asking us, Will you believe me? Will you believe the Lord and what the Lord teaches about worship? We're to worship on the first day of the week. To remember the Lord and the Lord's Supper. To sing from our hearts. Give the first day of the week. Will we remember what the Lord has said? And will we believe the Lord when He says that to be saved, that we must believe and repent? Confess and be baptized. Baptism is an immersion. Someone who's a penitent believer. Will we believe the Lord when He says there is one body? Will we believe the Lord when He talks about He is coming again? And that we'll be judged by Him? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Be recompensed according to the things that we've done in the body, whether good or evil. Every one of us. Believe that. Another question. Will you give in to temptation? James 1 and verse 13 says, Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. God cannot be tempted, neither does He tempt any man. He says, But each person is tempted when he's lured or when he's enticed and he's taken away by his own desire. And then desire, when it's conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth. Or brings forth death. That's what happens. You get to looking at things, and you begin lusting after those things, and you begin thinking about those things, and after a while, you begin to do what you've been thinking about, it, and then you begin to separate yourself from God. Temptation leads to sin, and sin leads to death. It was David, that sweet psalmist of Israel, who had the Holy Spirit who was a prophet. A man after God's own heart. Whenever the kings went off to war, he didn't go and he stayed home. He went up on his roof. He was relaxing. He was tempted. Sometimes temptation is not to be done. It's to go to kill a little wife. Sometimes people who are at the point in life where they have no power, I'm thankful that God gives us strength. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also. Provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure. God's not going to allow something to be so heavy on you that you can't bear it. And if it is heavier than you can bear, He'll provide a way of escape that you might be able to endure. God will be there for you. He won't let you down. He is faithful. Are you faithful whenever the time of temptation comes? Then the question is asked, Will you remain faithful? I tell you what, these are days that have so many problems. The problems of doubt. We have our universities that are creating lots of doubt. Our kids are bombarded on the media that evolution is true. And that Christians are bad. When have you seen someone who was a faithful Christian portrayed on television in a way that was a blessing? Most of the time, he's either a stark raving idiot, or he's a hypocrite, or he's tied up in sin. All those kinds of things our kids are bombarded with day after day. We live in a world that's becoming increasingly more ungodly. When all of the hoopla about the election was over with, and then all of the stuff came out about, oh, we need to have gay marriage. And people said, oh, we don't want to hear from the Bible thumpers on this one. Don't want to hear from the Bible thumpers. You know what that says to me? That says God has been told to shut up. In the most ugly terms. God's been gay. We can sit down at the table and everybody can have a voice and everybody can say what they want as long as they don't fling up the Bible. I'm glad our founding fathers were not that way, and I wish we were more like that. If anybody has ever read through the papers that were in the very beginning, they began to read through what was written by our founding fathers. One of the things that came out was that there were 30,000 quotations in those papers that were written by the founding fathers as they discussed the Constitution. 30,000 quotations from the Bible. There were more quotations from the Bible than any other book. In fact, if you put all of the other books combined, there were twice as many from the Bible, from our founding fathers. When George Washington was being inaugurated, well, they never inaugurated the president before. And he had some say in what was going to happen during the ceremony. And he called for a Bible. And whenever he swore an oath, he was going to swear it on the Bible. And even to this day, there are people who want to, when the presidents are sworn in, they want to be sworn in on George Washington. He was the one that whenever they asked him if he would defend the Constitution, who said, so help me God. What you may not know is after he said, so help me God, President George Washington leaned over and when they were fighting against England in those early days, the late 70s and early 80s, the 1700s, the colonies, the nation would call for days of prayer that God would protect their soldiers, that God would give them care. And the Continental Congress called for their prayer, and George Washington signed the proclamation, calling for a day of prayer. And in that day of prayer, there was a day of humbling themselves. A day of repentance. That they would not only pray to God, and they would also humble themselves and ask God to forgive them. Pledge repentance. They would ask God to forgive them, and this is from the Constitution, from the records of the prophets, that God would forgive them for the merits of the blood of Jesus. I wish God and our senators and our congressmen and our other leaders called for a day of that. I was listening to a preacher on the radio, and he was talking about people and how we needed to pray in this country. Yes, we do. But I'll tell you what this country needs more than it needs prayer. This country needs repentance. We need to repent of our ugly words and our ugly acts and our ugly ways. We're living in a world that is filled with a lot of moral garbage. Sometimes we And how does a Christian remain faithful? I think of the words of James. Consider it all joy, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. How do we remain faithful? We stay close to God. And whenever the tough times come, we don't quit and we don't stop. Tonight I would like to look at two passages at the end of this lesson. Both from David. The first one from Psalm 26 in verse 2. Where it says, "Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart." Now that's what is cried out by this psalmist. Test my mind and my heart. Do you really want God to test your mind and test your heart? Psalm 139, the last two verses, 23 and 24. Here David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way." Now I want us to think about that. There's David. He's crying out to God. You know all about me. That's what he said all the way through Psalm 139. You know words of my tongue before I ever speak them. You're before me. You're behind me. You know how many hairs are on my... He knew all about him. "I can't ever leave your presence," he says. He goes on for several verses. And as he ends this up, he says, "I want you to examine me, and I want you to search my heart and see if there is any hurtful motive." Now, God didn't need to search that. God already knew that. He cried out for this, not because God needed to know, but because he needed. "Search my heart. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me. And then lead me in the everlasting way." Are you willing to open up your heart to God? To remove all the veneer and all the shell? Are you willing to open up? Let God look at you and say, "Here are things that need to change." Be led in the everlasting. How would you measure? Blessed is the man who remains steadfast in pride. Once he stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life, which God's promise of birth. Now, tonight I'm going to ask you, as you receive the crown, you have people who are 2 years away. You've seen what was there. Is there any hurtful way that you need to do? You need to do. God tests us. But he tests us with the idea of helping us see ourselves so that we may change and lead the other time. Not you have an opportunity. Believe what's an opportunity. Not what you have. If you're not a Christian, you're looking for comfort tonight by believing with all your heart in Jesus Christ, by repenting of your sins, confessing his name, and by being baptized. Might be that you're a brother or a sister. David said this during his life. You know what? No matter how close you think we are to God, there are times when we need to ask God to examine our hearts. See if there's any hurt way there and lead us out. You need led out of that. I think the time is behind us. We have to take that first step. Get from it. Won't you respond? statements.